Good evening and welcome. We're now going to discuss our third part of personal property tonight, and that is the issue of bailments. As you may remember, we discussed gifts, which are two major types of gifts. You have gifts inter vivos, gifts while you're alive, and gifts cause mortis, gifts while you're alive, but you're thinking you're going to die. To have a valid gift inter vivos, you need to have intent, delivery, and acceptance. Remember ANIDA, IDA. If you have intent, you have delivery, you have acceptance, you will have a valid gift. With a gift causa mortis, you need that IDA, but you also need to fear that you are going to die rather imminently, and you then have to die for the gift to be valid. And you do not have to die of what you're afraid you're going to die of, but you do have to die for the gift to be valid. So you have gifts inter vivos, gift while you're alive, that IDA, and then you have a gift causa mortis. You also have gifts in contemplation of marriage, which are a special type of inter vivos gift. And remember, in order for a gift in contemplation of marriage to be valid, the marriage has to happen. We also spoke about liens last time. We gave definitions of liens. And remember, you have two major kind of liens. You have a special lien, which is a lien on an individual piece of property, generally because of the fact that you have borrowed money in order to purchase that specific piece of property. And that lien attaches it, which allows the creditor to repossess that property for the purposes of recovering the money that they lent to you to buy that piece of property. You also have general liens, and that applies to people such as innkeepers and common carriers and warehousers that allow them to keep all the personal property that you have in their establishment and at the possession. Why? Because they can't discriminate against you when they go to let you use their facilities. So an innkeeper can't say, hey, you got bad credit, I don't want you here. So as a result of that, they give them the power to take all of the property you have left in that hotel room. So too with a common carrier, which is someone who provides public transportation to you, and so too with a warehouser. Remember, you can have a common law lien, and you can also have a statutory lien under certain statutes. We have a New York State lien law that is the principal statute that outlines what liens we have. Okay, tonight we're going to get into bailments. And we're going to provide some definitions. We're going to talk about the elements and the duties and the benefits of a bailment. What is a bailment? A bailment is a relationship created by the transfer of possession. It's the transfer of possession, not the transfer of title. You are not giving that property to that other person for keeps. You are merely transferring possession of it. It is transferred by the bailor to another person called the bailee in order to accomplish a certain purpose. The simple definition of a bailment is a contractual relationship created by the transfer of possession of personal property for a purpose. So what are the elements of dapper? See these people who look so charming and dapper? Remember dapper, D-A-P-P-E-R, okay? These are the elements of a bailment. First, delivery. I have to deliver possession over to the bailee. The bailor's got to give it to them, and not as a gift, but has to deliver possession. There's got to be an agreement that, yes, I'm going to deliver this over to you for that possession, and you are going to accept it. It can only be personal property. You cannot bail real property. You only can bail personal property. And it's got to be for a purpose, either the safekeeping of the property or the fact that you need to use the property. There's got to be some purpose there. And it's entered into for the purpose of this agreement, this contract, is entered into for the benefit of one or both of the parties. And it's always, 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 always ended with redelivery. That means you got to give it back. You can't just keep it. You got to give it back. So remember, it's delivery with an agreement of personal property for a purpose, entered into for the benefit of one or both parties, and always, always, always ended with redelivery. Now, with a bailment, unlike a gift or a sale, there is no transfer of title of the personal property. You are only giving that possession up, that one e-put right. The bailment involves a relationship where the transfer of possession is done without the transfer of title. And under the terms, the bailee has the right to possess that property for a period of time, the person receiving it, and then has an obligation, remember, always, always, always to return it. That's redeliver it. Now, sometimes I can say, I don't want it back. I want you to dispose of it. That can happen too, but it's rare. 99.9% of the time, you got to give it back. It's a contract. It's a contract between these two parties. It's an express contractual arrangement, and it is required that you will agree to do this. There's number one element is it's got to be a transfer of possession. That is the number one thing. It's got to be a delivery. Remember, that's the D in Dapper. So you have to have an actual transfer of the property. Now, there's got to be an intent to exercise control from this transfer. The fact of possession alone is insufficient to create a bailment. A bailment imposes an element of responsibility on the bailee. So as a result of that, the mere fact that I give you something, I transfer the possession to it, you have to accept that. So it's got to be an agreement. That's the A in Dapper. And that agreement says I'm taking it for that purpose. Possession cannot be thrust on a bailee without their consent. They have to agree to it. So it's got to be a delivery, and there's got to be an agreement. You can have circumstances where there's an involuntary bailee. This circumstance generally comes up by means of statute where it requires you to do that, but they're rare. But 90% of the time, you have to have an agreement. That agreement can be forced upon you by statute, but overall, you have to agree to do that. Okay. Now, when I give you my car, for example, I'm asking you to take care of my car. That is a frequent bailment situation, particularly when I give you the keys. The bailee is presumed to have constructive knowledge, that's the person who receives it, of all the contents in the car. So I'm not only bailing you the car, I'm bailing you everything that's in the car. So if I have a radio in the car, if I have a spare tire in the car, I'm bailing that to you too. Now, if there's a special content, I hide in a secret compartment, fur coat or a ring or something of incredible value, the bailee doesn't know about that. And again, this has got to be an agreement with intent, and where they don't know about it, that doesn't count. But where they can visibly see it or can discover it relatively easily, that bailment will count. Now, there's some special circumstances. When you bail that car, you really need to have a transfer of possession to the garage. And that generally is done by the surrender of your car keys. So if the bailee gets dominion and control through being able to park the car, not drive it, but park it. And when I say not drive it out of the parking lot, like something out of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. If you remember that movie, they bailed the car by giving it over to the parking garage. And the second that Ferris Bueller walks away from the parking garage, the two parking attendants take the car on a joyride. Well, that's not a bailment, because the bailee is generally not entitled to use that car. Are they entitled to drive it to a parking spot within the garage? Yes, they are. They're not entitled to take it out on a joyride at Lake Michigan. But in order to have a true bailment, you have to surrender the keys. You have to surrender the car. Merely parking in a parking space in a public garage or a garage open to the public is not necessarily a bailment. If you get to keep the keys to your car and you're merely renting a parking space, that's not a bailment. So as a result of that, that is generally not viewed as a bailment. If you surrender the keys and the operator of the garage then takes your car and parks it somewhere within the garage, then that is viewed as a bailment. Now, a lot of litigation has happened for bailments in what we call check rooms. You go to a fancy party and you have an overcoat and you give that coat to the check room. And you provide a little tip, hopefully, to the nice young lady who takes your coat gentleman who takes your coat. That is a bailment because you are giving over dominion and control and custody of that item, and it's agreed that they're going to take it for safekeeping for you. Well, what happens if you have an incredibly expensive coat there? The law provides for certain circumstances that if the coat is above a certain amount of money, the bailee has to do certain things in order to say, hey, how much is this coat worth? The bailor has to tell them, they have to declare it, or otherwise, if something happens to the coat, it won't be charged. Because if somebody gives you a fur coat, for example, that's worth $5,000, the check person doesn't necessarily know how much it's worth. So you do have a responsibility to declare to them what it is and the value of it if you're going to hold them responsible. Now, if you do not get your bailee and you get the bailment, you can't not give it back. Remember, it's always got to be ended with redelivery. Well, if you don't, that's a tort known as conversion, which is another word for stealing. You have to give it back, and that is a requirement of the contract. And if you don't give it back, you've said to convert it, and the person who bailed it to you can sue you for the value of it. Okay. Now, coats on hooks aren't a bailment. That's just allowing you, just kind of like the car that you park and keep the keys, a coat on a hook is not viewed as a bailment. If you just walk into the restaurant and they have a pile. This frequently happens with like gyms and things of that nature. And if somebody takes your coat, well, the owner of the establishment is generally not viewed as accepting that for a bailment. Now, a bailment is not a consignment. A consignment is where you give someone an item of personalty for the purposes of them trying to sell it on your behalf. That's not a bailment, because what a bailment does is please keep it and take care of it. Again, it's also not where I'm giving you that to sell it for me. Consignment is a form of sale. As well as a sale is a form of sale, those are not really bailments, because bailments, what do? They're ended with redelivery, and none of these are ended with redelivery. Now, with respect to whose duties and rights you have, the possession is the bailee's exclusively. When you give it to the bailee, they are the exclusive possessor of the item. Are they entitled to use it? Generally not. Now, there is certain implied use. To give you an example, and when I give you my cow for safekeeping, cows have to be milked to stay healthy. And guess what? Even if I don't tell you milk Bessie the cow, implied use is you got to milk the cow to stay healthy. So that is something that is an implied use to be able to do that. An agreed use. I turn around and say, hey, will you watch my computer while I go to Antarctica? It's too cold down there. Don't want to take my laptop. Will you please have that in safekeeping? And while I'm away, feel free to use it. It's a great computer. You can use it and have fun with it. That's an agreed use. Because remember, a bailment is a contract. And if we contract for this, you can do anything we agree to. So an agreed use is as well. An incidental use is one that is for incidental purposes. To give you an example, I say to you, will you take my computer, and you keep it charged. You don't use it, but you plug it in now again. That's an incidental use. That's not something where you're benefiting from it on it, but you're entitled to do that. Now, in action against the bailee, I have to show a breach of contract. I asked you to watch this and you didn't do it. I can recover damages in tort from you. If you don't give it back, I can sue you for conversion, which is theft. I can sue you for replevin. Please return that item. Now, what about the bailee's duty of care? The duty of care of a bailee is based on one thing. Whose benefit is the bailment for? If the bailment is for the benefit of the bailee, the person receiving the item, then they have the highest possible duty of care. If it's for the sole benefit of the bailor, please watch my computer, but don't touch it. You just keep it in a safe place. I don't ever want you to do it. Either you're getting no benefit. I'm not paying you for it. That is for the sole benefit of the bailor. You have the lowest possible duty of care in that, only slight care that you have to take for it. Now, only gross negligence in that case. You know, you can't use it as a doorstop. You can't run over it with your car as a chock for the wheel. You know, those kinds of things would be grossly negligent. But if you keep it in your house and all of a sudden a tree falls through your house and smashes your computer to smithereens, that's not gross negligence. You did all you could, and an act came in between and hurt it. So as a result, if it's for the sole benefit of the bailor, then you have only a slight care requirement of the item. If it is for mutual benefit, then you have a mid-level care. Because remember, if it's for the sole benefit of the bailee, highest level of care, you have to take a position where you're liable for even slight negligence. When you talk about for mutual benefit, it's ordinary negligence. Anything that you do that's negligence on that. So if you have it for the benefit of the bailee, highest level, the benefit of the bailor, lowest level, mutual benefit in between. Now, what's absolute liability? You gotta give it back. If I depart from the terms of the bailment, I'm going to be responsible, either as the bailor or the bailee. You gotta follow the agreement. Now, where you have an agreement to insure and don't do it, you're gonna be entirely liable. Misdelivery is another term for I'm not re-delivering it from you. And you're always, 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 almost liable for that. So if you don't give it back, you're going to be responsible. Now, what about reimbursement? The general rule is that ordinary expenses must be borne by the bailee and extraordinary circumstances must be borne by the bailor. So if I bail to you that computer and you want to put it in a plastic bag, you got to supply the plastic bag as the guy who's the bailee. But if I tell you that I want it hermetically sealed in a steel case, I have to pay for that. I'm the bailor, because that's extraordinary expenses. Compensation in a bailment for mutual benefit, where you're taking the item, but you're getting paid for that compensation. The reasonable value of the services is typically what is looked to. And most bailments are gratuitous. I don't pay the person, or the person doesn't get paid, but the bailee in that case is not entitled to any compensation. But where we agree from the outset that I'm going to provide payment for you for doing the bailment, then reasonable services will be charged to me as the bailor. Now, how do you end the bailment? You always end it with redelivery, but what's the period of time? Well, it's in the agreement. Will you watch my computer for me for 2 weeks? That bailment ends after the 2 weeks. Or it can end by conduct of the parties. I return from Antarctica and I say, can I have my computer back? Or you write to me and when I'm still in Antarctica, because I'm staying down there instead of for 6 weeks, I'm now staying down there for 2 months. And you say, I don't want to watch this anymore. And we can agree to terminate that bailment. Now, that's the wonderful world of bailments. I hope you've enjoyed it. Remember, the most important thing about bailments is DAPR. Those are the elements of a bailment. Remember, it's got to be begun with delivery. It's got to be pursuant to an agreement. It's got to be personal property for a purpose. It's got to be always ended by redelivery and entered into for the benefit of one or both parties. It's duty of care of the bailee relates to whose benefit it's for. You remember those things? You got bailments down cold. We're going to move on to our case shortly. And it's a great case. It's Gruen versus Gruen. It's all about gifts and how you deliver them. See you next time.